Hello and welcome to the Courage Falls podcast. Listen and be blessed. Hello everyone. Welcome to this episode. My name is Victor Ojo. And today we're going to be talking about the heart of a discipler. And with me here is Colin Huxtable, my friend. Colin, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing awesome.
Thank you for having me on. This is a privilege.
Of course, it's my pleasure to have Colin here. Colin is my friend for about 2.5 years. And kind of a background story to this is I was really thinking about like the heart of a discipler, and Colin really just came up in my heart to be the person that I invite on to address this topic, because it's someone that I've seen leave this topic that we're talking about, basically. And I can say this because in the last year, last academic year, I and Colin led a small group in Chi Alpha. Chi Alpha is a campus ministry here in the U.S. And it was really awesome seeing some of the things that the Lord was doing through Colin in the lives of those people. And one thing I really noticed was how, Colin, you were always present. You know, even though you weren't always available, you tried to make yourself available for meeting your disciples one-on-one and consistently. And that was something worthy of emulation. Another thing I saw was how you, took the initiative to start a accountability group online, where like a group on GroupMe, where people can just drop stuff in there when they're struggling with something.
Yeah.
And I've seen people drop stuff they're struggling with late in the night, in the midnight, and like you responding with, "Yeah, I'm praying for you." And I'm like, "Wow, doesn't this guy sleep? You know, get some sleep." And
I don't sleep.
Yeah, and like that shows, even if you were awake, like, you know, so you could have actually just not responded or like shown concern, because you may have probably had something you were working on that was keeping you up late. But like, two things I see there is availability and also, you know, some level of vulnerability of you also putting up stuff there that you are struggling with and sharing with the guys. And I really commend that. And I think that one thing that I think, you know, ties all that, those two things together, is love. The love that you have for those guys, the love that you have for God as well, not just those guys, you know, the love that you have to see them grow. And I really commend that. And looking forward to, learning a lot of things from you as we continue in this conversation. Colin, would you mind like opening us up in prayers, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Dear Jesus, we just thank you so much for this time. And I thank you for teaching us how to be disciplers. But I thank you that also we're able to be your disciples, God. And so thank you for just giving us an amazing example. And I just pray that as we get into your word today, that you would just speak to us and that you would just guide our conversation, and that you would just lead us and teach us to be better followers of you and to help other people become better followers of you, Jesus. So we just thank you so much, Lord, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So back to our topic, who is the heart of a discipler? And before we even like go into the topic, you know, I'd like to know, who really is a discipler? Who is a discipler, Colin?
Yeah. So I think it's kind of interesting, because we look at the Bible and like the first main discipler we think about is Jesus, mm-hmm. right? Because we have the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, and they were disciples of Jesus. So like he was kind of the original discipler. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Jesus, that's a pretty high standard to look at. Mm-hmm. You and I were talking about John chapter 13, kind of the first section here, verses 1 through 17. And this is Jesus is washing the feet of his 12 disciples. This is right before the Last Supper.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of interesting because it shows this, like, I don't even know what you call it, this, like, difference of Jesus is Lord and Savior and mm-hmm. King of the world,
yeah.
but he's also servant.
Mm-hmm.
And he's washing the feet. And, like, you know, Peter gets mad. He's like, don't wash my feet.
Yeah.
Like, you're Jesus. Like, I should be washing your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, no, if I don't do this, you're not clean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't understand what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
And, like, this is even when he knows that Judas is going to betray him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. he says, like, not all of you are clean, and yet he still washes their feet.
Yes.
And it's just, like, this beautiful picture of, like, what Jesus is doing on a larger scale.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know the exact reference, but Jesus says, you know, the Son of Man came not to serve, mm-hmm. not to be served, but to serve.
To serve, yeah.
And so, like, I think this is just a great example to start with. Like, it's, like you said earlier, it's based on love, mm-hmm. and it's based on service.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you kind of have to be careful with this, because if you focus too much on the service and too much on the works, you can start to become, you know, people pleasing and mm. kind of a works based ministry,
yeah.
which is backwards. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't want to do that. But if we truly understand, like, how God's love towards us mm-hmm. works,
yeah.
then we can, like, love others in that way.
Mm.
So I think, like, just starting off, like, a discipler first understands what it is to be a disciple.
Because,
mm. like, you know, you and I, we can say that we're disciplers
yes.
of people. But first and foremost, we are disciples, whether that's
yes.
mentors in our lives, pastors,
mm-hmm.
But ultimately, Jesus.
Yes.
Right? Jesus is our discipler
mm-hmm.
of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because if you don't understand what a disciple is and
mm-hmm.
understand that you are a disciple,
mm.
then you're just like, oh yeah, I'm a disciple. Like, I'm in charge. Like, here,
yeah.
follow me. Like, do this.
Mm.
And that's that's kind of backwards.
Also an extreme, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think a discipler puts others' needs before themselves,
mm.
but it's all through the lens of the Bible and through
mm.
the teaching of Jesus.
Wow.
You know, like, if I know someone who needs help, like, you know, maybe they're a few bucks short on rent, or they need to buy gas or something, like,
yeah,
yeah, I'd say most people in the world would, you know, give someone a few bucks to cover,
mm-hmm.
to cover things. But, you know, maybe I know Jesus
mm.
and I know the great lengths that Jesus has gone to
mm-hmm.
save me and provide for me.
Yeah.
So be like, here, I'll give you some money. And maybe while your car's broken down because you ran out of gas, I'll
mm.
give you a ride. Or,
mm.
hey, like, you know, you got kicked out of your apartment because you couldn't pay for rent.
Yeah,
why don't you come at my place?
House,
or, like,
yeah.
you know, just love people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big thing.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you very much for that. And, you know, talking about a discipler, you know, we have to understand that, you know, there's a difference between when you have, like, a pastor that shows up every Sunday and just shares the word with people. You know, we have to look at it from also the perspective of someone who, you know, there's that, like, ability to spend time with people,
yeah.
one-on-ones. You know, someone who, like, is present in the lives of the people that they are discipling. Yeah, and I really like the fact that you mentioned that it starts first with being a disciple, you know, before you become a discipler. That's really good, because, you know, you would lead effectively when you first learn how to follow, basically.
Right.
And yeah, that brings me, you know, to wanting to share, or, you know, have you share your thoughts on what are the things that you think makes a good disciple, because we're looking at the heart of a disciple,
right?
And like, there's a heart to it, there's a heart posture that someone has to have that will make them go out of their way, like their way, like you most often do, to just be present in people's lives and see to it that they become something. So what are the traits of a good disciple?
I think kind of like a big overarching one that you've already mentioned is like being present. And something I forgot to mention earlier is like how great of an example Jesus is for us, at being a discipler. I really love The Chosen because it really visualizes the Bible for me. I love reading scripture, but like I want to picture it. I'm a visual person. It's so like watching The Chosen and seeing like, wow, like Jesus lived with these guys. Like a lot of his followers, obviously like the main 12, like they just did life together. There was hardly a moment where at least some of them weren't together. And like you said, like pastors on Sunday morning, like they're great. That's awesome. But like here, like for example, like I live in a house with three other guys right now and they're all awesome Christian guys. And I know that at any moment, if I'm struggling with something, I can go to my roommate's room and be like, hey man, can I talk about this? Or can you pray for me? And there's right there, like we're doing life together. And so like, I think that's a big one. Just kind of just a big trait is sacrificial. Like, are you willing to sacrifice things that can seem small, but are actually big, like time. Time is a huge thing. You know, like you and I leading small group this past year, like, it doesn't take up a ton of time, but you know, that's 2-3 hours out of the week where we could be doing other things. Not to mention like hanging out with other people, organizing hangouts. You know, a guy calls us up and be like, hey, I need help. I need prayer with this. Sure, I'll be right over. Like I've seen that in you as well. Like you're always wanting to be with people. You're always wanting to, you know, sacrifice whatever, you know, you need to serve someone else. So I think like a heart of sacrifice is really good. And that kind of just goes hand in hand with love. You know, God sacrificed his son for us because he loved us, because he does love us. And we sacrifice our time, our energy, our resources for other people because we love them. And we love them in a way that Jesus loves them. So those are like two big things. Another thing would be like obedience to the Holy Spirit. I think that you can have good intentions and love someone, but if it's not the way that God wants to love them, or they're not the way that God wants to serve them, then that can still be wrong, which is really interesting. But obviously obedience is a big thing, because if we follow God, we won't get it wrong.
Definitely.
But those are kind of the big three: obedience to the Holy Spirit, love, and sacrifice. You know, and it's hard sometimes. People come to me with like, a recurring issue, like, hey, I'm struggling with this again. I'm like, man, like I thought this was getting better. I thought we were really working on this. Nope, we just need to sit here, we need to talk about it, we need to pray about it. And I give a little bit more of my time to this guy.
Yeah, that's really good. And I really love what you said about the Holy Spirit, you know, and like the role of the Holy Spirit, of like obeying the Holy Spirit. And like that really, you know, brings me to this point where we have to also talk about like, how would you even obey the Holy Spirit if you don't spend time with the Holy Spirit? How would you obey the Holy Spirit if you don't listen to him? If you don't have a relationship with him, you know, and like, what would you say or how much impact would you say having a relationship with the Holy Spirit or having a relationship with God have had on in your life as someone who like disciples people?
I mean, all of it. The only reason that I am even able to disciple people or even know what that is, yes, is because I came to know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going to church my whole life,
mm-hmm,
and it wasn't until my senior year of high school when we went to a new church and the pastor at my youth group started talking about having a personal relationship with Jesus.
Mm.
And I was like, what is this?
Mm.
Like, I've known about God my whole life, but like, you mean I can like talk to him?
Mm. Wow.
Like I can, like he knows me. He loves me.
Mm.
Like on a personal level, like you and I are talking.
Yeah.
And I just started to see like people that knew God in that way loved me better,
mm-hmm,
and loved me differently.
Mm.
And so, yeah. And do I get it right all the time? No, I'm not perfect. I mess up a lot, and I'm, you know, I could do a lot better in different ways, but I know God, mm-hmm, and that is how I'm able to love people. And I've seen that with you also. Mm. You know, you're very, very spirit led with the way that you talk to people and that you care for people. And one thing that I've kind of implemented to help myself, like kind of force myself, if you will, to like follow the Holy Spirit is like, anytime I meet up with someone, is I say a quick prayer. Mm-hmm. Like I'm walking to the coffee shop or I'm walking to the student union or, you know, someone's coming over, just like, you know, quick 1 to 2 minute prayer. Mm-hmm. My walk, like, hey, Holy Spirit, like, I don't know what we're going to talk about. Like, or like this guy's struggling with this and I don't know how to help him.
Mm-hmm.
Please help me, like guide our conversation.
Yeah.
And that just puts me in that mindset of like, okay,
mm-hmm,
I'm not doing this on my own. I'm merely like a messenger.
Yes. Wow.
So, yeah. That's kind of my thoughts on that.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. So, you know, like when I was looking at that John 13 and, you know, when Jesus was talking or replying Peter and he tells Peter, looking at verse 10, starting from verse 7, Jesus says, "What I'm doing now, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." That was after Peter asked him a question about what he was doing. And Jesus says, "If I do not wash you, you have no part in me." You know, and so one of the things that I saw in the life of Jesus is that he had an end goal in mind when he was like discipling people. He had an end goal in mind. Like when he first met Peter, he told them, "Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men." You know, and that was like an end goal in mind that he had for them. You know, what would you say is the right, you know, motive or the right purpose to have in mind, you know, when you're, for instance, meeting someone and you want to, you know, like lead them to Christ, you want to disciple them? What would you say is the ultimate end goal of doing that?
Yeah. That's a really good question. I feel like that's something that gets skipped over a lot because we get excited about like, oh, this person just gave their life to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Our work here's done.
Mm.
Actually, the work just started. And yeah, I'll admit sometimes I'm not very good at this either. but one saying that Chi Alpha has for the small group leader training, that at first I didn't really like. I was like, that's kind of silly. Why do they say that? but I've grown to like it a lot. It says, make disciples who make disciples who make disciples.
Mm.
So I think that the end goal is like, you know, if I'm talking to someone, let's say that they don't know Jesus at all, like, I think that there are kind of two end goals. Like the first one is that they know Jesus on a personal level. Like,
definitely,
that's awesome. That's definitely a win.
Yes,
but then there's another like goal beyond that. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, can they now take that, not only make their faith personal, but can they go and share that? Mm. And can they make disciples of their own?
Mm.
Can they go and be a discipler now?
Mm.
And can they bring other people to Jesus?
Mm.
Because if you're just making, you know, if you're just getting people that know Jesus,
mm.
well, that's awesome. But mm. now they can't share that.
Yes.
So I think that's a big goal that we need to try and strive for. It's like, okay, is this person going to be able to go out and bring more people to Jesus?
Wow, that's really good. Like, so we can streamline it. When I want to meet up with someone, I'm not doing it because I need to meet a target or like add the number to church or make myself feel good of like, yeah, I'm now a discipler.
Yeah,
that's not the end goal. Or yeah, this is like a task given to me because like maybe I'm the deaconess or I'm someone in church or something, you know. But like my end goal should be that I'm leading them closer and closer to God in their relationship with God. I'm like trying to help them grow in their relationship with God and also to help them come to a point where they're able to replicate what I'm doing, which is to you know, make disciples who will lead others to God and to have a more intimate relationship with God and also help others grow in their relationship with God, you know, ultimately. And as you were saying that, the scripture that comes to mind is 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. You know, from verse 1, Paul was talking to Timothy and he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And like this is huge because it really summarizes everything you've been saying. Because you talked about how you should first be a disciple, and you see how he like is talking to him about like the things that you've learned from me, the things that you've learned from me, commit also to faithful witnesses who will also do the same. You know, and so this brings me to this point where how do you as a discipler not, you know, now we're beginning to go into the practicality of being a discipler, you know, into how I can be a good discipler.
Yeah.
You know, and like I think that if the end goal is to have a relationship with God and to make someone that would make other disciples, you know, like what Paul is saying here, which is to commit what you have learned, that is the word of God, unto other people, you know, then that means that as a discipler, you ought to also be having a relationship with God. And so how do you balance your work for God to the point where it doesn't like replace your relationship with God, to the point where it doesn't, you don't become distracted by discipleship.
Yeah.
You know, you don't become distracted away from, you know, having a relationship with God, basically.
Yeah. No, that's really good. And I think like that's something to point out that you can be distracted mm-hmm. by discipleship. You know, I think of like Martha and Mary.
Mm. Luke chapter 10. You know,
Martha, she busied herself with serving when Jesus was sitting in her living room.
Mm.
Like Jesus was in her house and she was like, "Jesus, can you tell my sister to like help me?"
Mm.
And Jesus like, "Mary has chosen the good part. Like she's with me.
Yeah.
She's spending time with me. Like I appreciate your serving,
mm-hmm.
but that's not the most important part."
Right. Mm.
And I think you mentioned something towards the beginning of like, you know, how are we obedient to God if we're not spending time with him?
Mm-hmm.
There was a worship leader conference at our church last semester. This guy named Jeff Dio came in to our church, and really cool guy. But he was talking about and this is more geared toward worship leaders, but he was talking about like, how can we pour out to other people if we are not filled ourselves? Mm. And he was talking about like a well analogy. Like, if you dig a well, you know, you reach the water and then you can draw the water out of the well.
Yes.
Well, you can't draw any water out if your well's not deep enough.
Mm.
So he was like, when you spend time with God by yourself, you know, like Jesus talks about in the secret place, going to secret place, and your Father who hears in secret will hear you. Like, that's, you're digging the well. You've got your shovel out and you're doing the hard work. Then when you go and you're in a small group, or you're with, you know, someone who you're teaching about Jesus, then you can draw that water out and you can pour it out on them. And like, that is the main thing of like not getting caught up in the discipleship. Is like, just because you're discipling other people, like, that's awesome, but you can't forget about your personal walk with God.
Yeah,
you can't like leave this other thing behind, because that's the foundation of it all. And you know, I've seen times in my life where I have kind of let my personal faith on the wayside and be like, oh, this is awesome, you know, I'm putting all my time into Chi Alpha and into small group. And then I'm wondering why it's not as effective as it could be. Oh, well, I haven't spent a lot of time with God lately. And then I go and spend time with God, and then like awesome things happen. Oh, that's really cool. So, yeah, I think that's a big thing of like talking about not getting distracted. Is, is just remembering the foundation of like our faith and how we're able to do all these things. Yeah, I'd say that's kind of the main one.
Yeah, that's really great, because like, thank you so much, Colin. Because, you know, for a long time, I focused on growing in my relationship with God and not like making disciples, so to speak. Like, of course, like making disciples can come naturally as you grow in your relationship with God. But I think there's also the place of being deliberate about it. Hence, Paul telling Timothy to, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 that we just read, to make disciples. You know, there's that, that continuous instruction. You see Jesus in the end when he was leaving, telling the disciples to go out there and make disciples of our nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's always that like instruction given to them, you know, to go out there and make disciples. And I think that a lot of people need to hear what this conversation that we're having here today, that the end goal of your Christianity is not just for you to have a relationship with God, but to invite other people along that journey, so to speak. You know, and so like, and I think some of the misconceptions that many people have is they're probably waiting for a special invitation or a special call from God, you know, to be doing this. You know, so like, what was really the turning point for you? Did you get like a special call from God into making disciples, or what really helps you go from just growing in your relationship with God to coming to a point where you have this consciousness of, you meet someone today and you're like thinking of, this person has to grow in their relationship with God. You're thinking of, how can this person become a disciple of Jesus? How did you go? And then actually taking steps towards that. How did you go from, yeah, now I know Jesus, I am growing in my relationship with Jesus, to that point where you have that consciousness of making disciples?
Yeah, no, that's really good. When I think about like when I first like realized how important like making disciples was, or like the first time that I realized I wanted to do that, I think back to like my freshman year small group, and that was when you and I met. We were in small group together, and you know, I just think of our leaders, like they were just awesome guys, and like they wanted to hang out with us, they wanted to do life with us, they were willing to share their struggles and their shortcomings. And that really helped me share mine. They were some of the first guys that I shared the struggles that I was having, the sin that I was going through. And I was like, I want to do that for other people. I just don't know how, because I'm new to this. And so, I think initially I thought like what you were talking about, like, okay, there's going to be like this big call, you know, or like I got to get a lot of training, or like I got to, you know, get so many years into my faith. But the more and more that I got into my faith, the more and more that I realized like we're all called to this. You know, Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Like, Jesus isn't talking to, like, yes, he's talking to his, the 12 apostles here. Well, I guess the 11 apostles. but like, it's in the Bible, right? Like, scripture isn't for certain people. Like, this is the word of God, and he's talking to all of us. Sure, like, your calling might look different from mine. You know, maybe you're going to go lead a church or a ministry somewhere, and I'm going to have some job in the marketplace. You might be talking to hundreds of people. I might be talking to one person. They're equally important, because you're bringing people to Jesus, and I'm bringing people to Jesus. And God told us both to do that. And so that's when I was like, wow, this is like something that I can actually do. I was like, I'm a student, like I'm busy with school. How am I supposed to do that? And like, I am busy. I'm a full-time student. I am in flight school. I, you know, I lead worship at Chi Alpha. I volunteer at the church. It's like, how do you have time to disciple people? It goes back to just doing life with people. The people that are in, you know, our small group, or that I'm discipling, like, we're friends. We hang out like normal friends do. We go and get food, you know, we go out and do fun stuff. We help each other move out of our apartments. But we're doing it because we love each other in a Christ-like way. And like you mentioned, like some practicals of like how to do that, because you know, we can read the Bible and like that's awesome, but we're in the 21st century now, you know. we're college students, we're young adults, we're like whatever, how do we do this? We're not Jesus. obviously. And yeah, I think it just goes back to making time for people. I think back to my freshman year, my one small group leader, especially John, he would always text me all the time. Hey, Colin, when do you want to hang out? You want to go get breakfast with me? Like, hey, let's go play frisbee golf. Let's go skating. Let's just do this like all the time. And then she was like, wow, this guy, like, he needs some more friends. And then I was like, no, he is friends with everyone because he makes time for people. And so, and I could do a lot better with that, but like just wanting to make time for people, you know, I invite people over to my house here. And that really shows people that you care. Especially the people that need community, that need, you know, someone who knows Jesus to hang out with. If you say, hey, like you want to come over to my house, you know, or hey, let me take you to lunch here. Like, wow, this person cares about me differently than other people do. Another one would just be praying for people. The power of prayer is very important. And you might not even ever talk to someone. But if you pray for them, God is still working in their life. And so like, even if you have a conversation that goes wrong, like I've had countless conversations where like I'm trying to share Jesus with someone or someone falls away from Jesus, and I'm like, man, what could I have done differently? And it's like, well, I can't do anything differently now, and I'm going to pray for them, and it's out of my hands. But like Jesus prayed for people. The New Testament is full of, like, Paul talked about this countless times, like, pray continuously, like, pray with supplication, pray with thanksgiving, like, be continuous in prayer. And then I think the last thing is something that you mentioned at the beginning. We were kind of joking about me not getting any sleep, but something that my our freshman year small group did actually was start a group chat for specifically accountability. For any sin that we're struggling with, any prayer requests, you know, things that were a little more personal. And that was really cool because that, again, showed people that we cared. It showed me that other people cared about what I was going through. And that's been huge. I've done that every year that I've led small group now. So both years. And it's been huge both years. Like you said, you know, people texting in the middle of the night, reaching out because they know there's people in this group
that would respond,
that will respond, that will pray for them, that will direct them to the Lord. And it's so cool because everyone has a different response. You know, I usually am just like, you know, I'm praying for you. Other people will try to encourage, you know, I love you. You always send Bible verses in that group chat. So that's awesome. But yeah, I think it's I'm blanking on the verse right now, the reference, but it's like always consider how we can stir one another towards love and good works. Like, how are we building each other up, and keeping each other accountable to follow Jesus? I think that's, those are some big practicals that I've kind of discovered over the last couple of years.
Wow, that's really awesome. And I really have, I really can like transition our conversation in, or into two branches of like the role of friendship and vulnerability in discipleship. And because when those two things are present in discipleship, when friendship is present in discipleship, then vulnerability would be present. And like, I'm talking about a two-way vulnerability,
right?
A two-way friendship. You know, and of course, I know that the disciple has a responsibility, just like you were saying about John, you know, your small group leader in freshman, our small group leader in freshman year, of how he would text to ask for if you would like to hang out and stuff. And so it seems as though the disciple like initiates the process of friendship and the process of vulnerability. And so like, what does, you know, friendship and vulnerability in discipleship look like for you? You know, I'm talking about like on a day when you're not at your best and you have to hang out with a disciple, what does that look like for you? And of course, as disciples, like, you also need to be like vulnerable, you know, feel like, yeah, I can be vulnerable with this person. So what do you, would you say is the role of friendship and vulnerability in discipleship? And how has that like helped your discipleship journey?
I think like it's especially important, like you said, if you're having like a bad day. I think back to my freshman year and I was like, wow, my small group leaders are like these awesome guys. Like, they got it figured out. Like, they got it under control. Like, they're just awesome. And then they would open up and they would be vulnerable. You're like, hey, I'm struggling with this. Like, I'm sinning in this area, or like, you know, I'm really anxious about this one thing. I'm like, no way. Like, these awesome guys that I look up to. And the only reason that I was able to be vulnerable with them is because they were first vulnerable. Like you said, they initiated it. And so like, that's would be the first thing that I would say is like, if you're having a bad day, and you're going to hang out with someone you're trying to disciple, like, just be honest.
Yeah.
Like, hey man, how you doing? Yeah, like, I'm not doing too great right now. Like, you know, this got some bad news, or like, yeah, I just like haven't been walking with God very well lately. And that just shows them that, like, hey, like, I don't have it all together. Yes. Like, you and I, we're the same. You know, just because I'm trying to teach you about God doesn't mean that I know everything. I definitely don't.
Yeah.
And that just naturally builds friendship and trust.
Yes.
You know, any single one of the guys in our small group from this past year, I can confidently say that I'm friends with them. And I know that they would say the same thing about us, is that we're friends. And that's been so cool to see over the year, over this past year, is like, we had these 12 total strangers come together, and now, like, they won't stop talking in the group chat.
Yes.
Like, hey, I'm going on a prayer walk. Or like, hey, does someone want to come help me move out of my apartment? Or like, you want to go get dinner? Like, instant friendship.
Yeah.
But it's based around following Jesus together. And yeah, like, when I moved into this house, like, I only knew one guy out of the five who were living here.
Wow.
And by the end of the year, like, we were all great friends. Like, not only because we were living together, but because we were keeping each other accountable and following Jesus together. And we were vulnerable with each other. We shared our hurts. We shared our sin. And we prayed for each other. And I just think of Jesus is talking about the last days, and he's talking about Judgment Day. And you know, he's separating the sheep and the goats. And, you know, the sheep, he knows them. He knows them. And the goats, he doesn't know them. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. And, like, Jesus gives us an example of this amazing friendship that he wants to know us. And I think of how many, like, friendships that I had before I became, you know, a quote-unquote Christian, before I came to know Jesus fully, that were just like surface level. It was like, oh yeah, we see each other at school every day, and that's about it. You know, I don't trust this person truly. Like, I can't go to them with big issues. And now I know that any single person in our small group, you know, you, anyone else, I go to be like, hey, I'm struggling with this. And I, like, we're truly friends. So, like, vulnerability and friendship are crucial to discipleship.
Yeah, that's really good, because, you know, it's just something that I think I shared some nights ago on the group about how I was feeling overwhelmed. And I intentionally chose to use the word overwhelmed instead of depressed, you know, because that was kind of how I was really feeling. But, like, when I think that was around, like, 1 a.m. in the night, you know, and then I see that you responded, that you were praying, you know, and I literally just felt better, like, just right after I read that. And then I saw Zane, you know, reacting, loving. And then by the time I was up in the morning, I think I saw, no, even that night, I saw Chris.
Yeah.
Also was, you know, reacting to the messages, and I literally felt better. And, you know, it really speaks to me of how that we can have, just like what you were saying, we can have safe friendship in Christ. You know, we can have, like, just like what Jesus said, that when you, you know, lose your siblings or you lose your family, you have, you know, them in hundredfold. You have your brothers, you have your family in hundredfold in Christ Jesus. And we can literally see that, and I can see that in my life of, like, because that's something that I really struggled with, you know, of, you know, being vulnerable, so to speak, in my relationship. And, like, just by doing that, I felt so much better. I felt like a weight left me, you know, by doing that. And that's just to show the power of, you know, vulnerability. And as we, you know, just begin to wrap up the conversation, I think a good note to end this conversation on would be to, you know, kind of dial back to the role of the Holy Spirit in discipleship. You know, because one of the things that I am beginning to, you know, understand about discipleship is there is no one size fits all approach to it. Like, I can't use the same curriculum that I have for Mr. A, for Mr. B, you know, and I think that's where the role of the Holy Spirit comes in. So what would you say is the role of the Holy Spirit in being an effective discipler?
Yeah. I think, so yeah, this spring, we were on a mission trip, and like, that was a really cool week of just like really pressing into God, listening to the Holy Spirit, like learning what obedience was. And our friend Andy came in and talked, and he talked a little bit about discipleship. He talked about, you know, small group leading. And one thing he really emphasized was that the Holy Spirit is the teacher.
Yes.
I don't know exactly where in the Bible where it talks about the Holy Spirit specifically being a teacher. I know it talks about, Jesus talks about sending the helper.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit is the one who, like, when we read the scripture, Holy Spirit reveals things to us through the scripture, right? Like, we don't have that power on our own, even though this is the word of God.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have the power to be like, wow, this is what God is speaking to me. Mm. It's the Holy Spirit, like, okay, you just read this passage. This is what I'm trying to tell you. And like you said, that applies to discipleship of like, okay, something that I tell my one friend over here might not apply to my other friend. And this is something that I struggled with for a while of like, oh, I've just got so many good thoughts in my head. Like, if I just tell these guys what I'm thinking of, well, then all their problems will be solved. Like, no, like, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I don't have the wisdom. But like we were talking about praying earlier, like if you just go in and pray, like, okay, Holy Spirit, you know what this person needs to hear. You know what this person's going through. So would you just reveal that to them, or would you reveal it to me so that I can tell them?
Yeah.
Or we're reading this scripture together, so would you just speak to them? And it's really cool because that takes the pressure off you as a discipler, as a leader, of like, wow, I don't have to say all the right things. Because you can't, because you're not God. And so, like, yeah, let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. And that's hard, and I don't get it right all the time. But the Holy Spirit wants to teach. You know, the Bible is, it's awesome and it's complicated. There's a lot in the Bible.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit wants to speak through us, speak to us. And so, yeah, I think just relying on the wisdom and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And realizing that the Holy Spirit is a better teacher than you are, than I am.
You know, as you were saying that, I remember one time in a small group when one of us was, you know, sharing stuff, and every one of us had something to say of like, you know, just sharing their wisdom with that person. And I don't know if you can remember, I just like spontaneously said, you know what, guys, let's just gather around and just, you know, play some is it a worship song? Or, no, just play some ambience and just sit down in silence in God's presence. And that night, you know, it was really cool because we literally felt the presence of God. And without even like saying too many things, like we knew that the Lord was present. And in just that moment of doing nothing, in that moment of, because I think, is it Caleb Bonnes that said that sometimes doing nothing is doing something. You know, and just taking that moment to step back and just sit in God's presence in that moment and let the Holy Spirit touch this person's heart. like sometimes that's just all we need sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, of just allowing the Holy Spirit, you know, just be the one navigating our conversations, navigating our thoughts towards this person, navigating, you know, or leading us in when, how, what to be doing with our disciples, so to speak. And that also like takes the burden off of us as well.
Right.
You know, because we don't have to like bear all the burden of, hey, so when we see that this person is not, you know, yielding results, you know, we don't have to put the burden on ourselves of, maybe I'm not doing it right. Of course, sometimes we might not be doing it right, but it takes the Holy Spirit to help us figure out what we're not doing right, right, what we're doing wrong. You know, and just that place of relying on the Holy Spirit is very important. And yeah, and as we just begin to wrap up here, Colin, I would like to hear if you have any final thoughts, generally speaking, any overarching thoughts on this topic of the heart of a discipler, on, you know, how I can be a good discipler. Just any final thoughts that you'd like to share?
Yeah. You know, we covered so much stuff. I think one thing just to like encourage people is like, you don't have to be at a specific point to be a discipler. You don't have to know any specific thing to be a discipler. You could know Jesus for 10 years or 10 minutes and you are equipped to be a discipler.
Wow.
Because it's not you that's doing the work. Mm. It's God that's doing the work. Mm. And like, yes, you still have to be obedient to God and, you know, wise about what you're doing, but there's God can use anyone and he will use anyone. So like, yeah, I just like think back to my story of like, I was kind of intimidated by making disciples at first or like leading a small group. Mm. And I was like, I'm not qualified for this. Mm. But then I was like, no, like we're just sitting here and we're doing life together. We're learning about Jesus together. Mm. And so, yeah, I would just like a question I would pose would just be like, what things in your life right now, could you sacrifice or give to others to help serve them and show them the love of Jesus?
Wow.
And always having that heart and that mindset. Because again, you can serve people.
Yeah.
And if your heart's not in the right place, then it's still like wrong or still not quite right.
Yeah.
So just always having that heart and that mindset, and you're gonna mess up. That's okay. Yeah. That's okay. God doesn't expect perfection. He just wants obedience. And so, I would just encourage people with that. Just go out and give it a try and pray first, always pray first.
Awesome. And just, going off of, the concept of vulnerability and the burdens of vulnerability. And I'd like us to just practice that here as we're having this discussion. And how I want us to practice that is to kind of highlight like one thing that, you know, that you are taking away from this conversation that, you know, really blessed you from this conversation, you know, because for me or for us, to the audience that are listening, it's not just like that we're trying to share stuff, you know, with people. As we're talking, we're also learning from what we're saying. And for me, I'm going to go first. One big thing I'm taking away from this conversation is that I don't need a special calling before I start. Like the word of God already told me to, and so to go make disciples, and that's enough for me to go off and just start where I'm at. making disciples.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what That's would you really say good. Is one big takeaway for you?
Yeah. This has been really cool because it's allowed me to kind of reflect on my journey with being a disciple and a discipler.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that I am going to take away is just like realizing the importance of spending personal time with God.
Wow.
And you know, I've been kind of busy lately, kind of distracted lately.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I think this has been really cool to see like, oh yeah, this is the most important part.
Mm.
And just like getting back into that and just realizing the importance of that.
Wow. Awesome. Thank you very much, my friend and brother Colin, for just, you know, sharing such wisdom with us. I really appreciate your time. Really appreciate you praying and preparing for this. And yeah, really grateful for your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This has been great. So, and I appreciate your wisdom and your heart also.
Mm.
Great.
Yeah, thank you very much, Colin. Would you please pray for us?
Absolutely. Oh, well, God, we just thank you so much for this time and just the things that you've revealed to us and to the people listening, Lord.
Yes.
I just pray that you would keep working, that you would just take this, this conversation that we've had, the scripture that we read and the things that we talked about, and that you would just go and speak to other people, Lord, that you would just stir up in our hearts just a desire to be your disciple, Jesus, and to go and disciple others, just like you told us. And so, yeah, I just pray that we wouldn't stop or we wouldn't be afraid, that we would just step confidently into the calling that you have for us, which is to go and make disciples.
Yeah.
And knowing that we might not get it right, but that's okay because you have grace towards us.
Yes, so Jesus.
We just thank you so much, God, and you just bless every single person listening. And
yes,
thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you once again, Colin. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you were blessed. If you would like to share your testimonies with us or request for counseling or prayers, or you have questions about what you just heard or other Christian subjects, or you just want to make more inquiries about Caris Folks, feel free to reach us through our website, carisfolks.org, or send in your email at hello@carisfolks.org. Jesus loves you.